Welcome to This Present Truth. I'm your host, Rick Rodriguez. Today is the July 27th, 27th of July, 2026, first hour. Trump, gorillas, magicians, and the second hour, Carol Quigley, the gorillas. On thispresenttruth.com site, you'll get the Olive Tree and Lampstand Ministry programs, also This Present Truth programs. You can contact me, Rick Rodriguez, P.O. Box 872, Longmont, Colorado, 80502. Either we are in the end times before Christ returns, or we aren't. With these programs giving you data, giving you the latest in what is happening internationally with technology, weapons, economies, religion, many other items, we are either in the end times in the book of Revelation, or we aren't. This is why I do these programs, to help the listeners give you insight, maybe, big news, true news, from a biblical point of view. The gorillas that I've mentioned in the previous two programs, eventually they are going to trample the Bible. They are going to attempt to destroy God's Word. They will attempt to destroy Christianity, true Christianity. They can destroy the nominal Christianity in name only. That's fine. They won't, because it works to their advantage to keep nominal Christian people alive, because they're deceived. They believe that they know God. They don't. They're nominal in name only. They will attempt to destroy, eliminate the Jewish people, the true Jewish people. Conflict to destroy Israel, to genocide all the Jewish people, the true Jewish lineage, and to create ethnic cleansing of everything that pertains to the Jewish people, going all the way back to Abraham, all the way actually back to Adam and Eve. Okay, so Carol Quigley, the gorillas, he presents the gorillas. Carol Quigley, the gorillas. I'm going to quote from Quigley. I've been speaking to you of the gorillas, the gorilla, the king of the jungle, which is British and American secret society, Pilgrim Society. Here's what Carol Quigley has to say about this society. Quigley, he knew of this group. He referred to them as the Anglo-American Establishment. And he was a professor out of Georgetown University. And he knew everything there is to know about this society, UKUS. And here's what he says. Okay, he writes, there was a point while he was a professor, at Georgetown, of a secret society. The intentions are world domination. Now I'm going to quote. The idea of a secret international group of propagandists for federal imperialism was by no means new to an individual by the name of Milner, who wrote, I don't remember Milner's first name. I'll present it when I remember. But he wrote the Milner Roundtable, which is the Rhodes-Milner Roundtable. This is the plan that Cecil Rhodes had for a group of people. I'm going to end the quote of Quigley to present this. Milner was instrumental in writing this roundtable concept. In other words, a group of Anglo-Saxon wealthy English people, and initially Rhodes stated it would be a white world government. Eventually, that didn't sit well. It wasn't politically correct. So they called it a English-speaking world government, which would eventually become the Anglo-Saxon Pilgrim's World Government. Now, going on, quoting Quigley. When he became Rhodes' trustee, Milner, in 1901, since he had been brought into Rhodes' secret society as a sixth member in 1891, so Milner's brought in 1891, and this was one of his old superiors, W.T. Stead. W.T. Stead, I mentioned him in the last program. He was he loved to do seances there, and Stead was eventually the one who would write Cecil Rhodes' biography and eventually oversee Cecil Rhodes' financial estate. Stead, as we have indicated, was the chief Rhodes confidant in England and very close to Milner. I'm trying to remember Milner's name. Although Stead did not meet Rhodes until 1889, Rhodes regarded himself as a disciple of Stead's much earlier and eagerly embraced the idea of imperial federation based on home rule. This is Quigley, 1981. The home rule, the Anglo-American establishment. And there was a study by a group of men. I don't think they published anything for the last 8-9 years, but they had an article out, which was, if you can Google it, don't Google, use another search engine, The Pilgrim Society, A Century of Rockefellers, Rothschilds, Mellons, and so much more. And Quigley was referring to this group in the article that I printed out, The Pilgrim Society, A Study of the Anglo-American Establishment, again, Rockefeller, Mellon, and Rothschild, Cecil Rhodes, Windsors, the Federal Reserve, World War II, CIA, so much more. This guerrilla, this is what Quigley began to write about. He wanted to be a member. They would not allow him to be a member. He was very offended that he wanted to be part of this rare, powerful establishment. And they said no. They wouldn't allow him. He mentored Bill Clinton, Bill Rockefeller Clinton. Why? Because Bill was going to be part of furthering the objectives of this group. It was created in 1902 in UK and in the city of London, then eventually a sister chapter 6 months later in the city of New York. The city in New York who funded it and who was one of the principals in Pilgrims U.S. was John D. Rockefeller, and I believe John D. Rockefeller Jr. Christ said that nothing that is being done in secret will remain secret. This is a principle. Everything in the time in which we lived will be made known. Everything that has been hidden, the evil that has taken place through the societies of the world, would be brought into the open. This group also has to be brought into the open. There are many people that have already begun to speak of this group. And most people don't want to say anything. It can cost them. But Christ did say that the devil must allow people to know that he exists. And the cosmic law is that people have a right to know they are being deceived by these individuals that serve Lucifer. They're called Luciferians. They're called Illuminati. They're called Skull and Bones, Freemasons. Not all Freemasons know they are in a secret society. Muslims, very powerful Muslims. Freemasonry is, you might say, a base, a foundation on which Islam is anchored. The Muslim people don't even know this. The Muslim people don't know that they are serving jinn, the spirits of Muhammad, in the cave where they found the scrolls of the writings of Muhammad. In that cave, they photographed, a photographer was in that cave, took a photo, and in it he had a picture of the spirit that had one claw on each foot hanging on a wall in that cave where the writings were found, the Quran. And the Muslim people don't realize this. They don't realize that their imams, their leaders, their judges, Sharia judges, are most of them Freemasons. They are in the occult. They serve the jinn, J-I-N. And over here, you call them demons. The Muslim people are afraid of death because they know the jinn take the souls of the dead to the underworld. And with the Islam, they brainwash these individuals into believing, the soldiers, that they will have heaven with great, great sexual perversion, I would say, sexual rewards. Well, they're not being told the truth. The jinn come to take these people to the underworld. Nothing will remain hidden. What Christ said would happen will happen. There are laws that even the devil has to abide by. Eventually, all deception, the people being deceived, they have a right to know the truth. They have a right to make a decision for themselves. They have a right to see clearly. Now, whether they accept what they see or not, that's up to them. But Christ, in the book of Matthew, when he told the disciples, they asked him, "What will be the sign of your coming?" The first thing Christ said was, and this is very important, we jump over this. We don't take it the way we should. We dismiss the importance of, see to it that you are not deceived. The very first thing he says, he's warning our generation. See to it that you're not deceived. Deceived by what? By mainstream media, by all the different religions, by Hollywood. I can go on. Now, Quigley, again, is talking about this group. It is Anglo-American group. I'll read what they say. It says in this article I've read, it is the Eastern Establishment. It is so-called WASP, WASP, meaning white Anglo-Saxon Protestants. It doesn't mean religious Protestant. It just means like they're white, and they basically do consider themselves to be more along the line of some Bible teachings. It refers to Americans of British descent, even though there's a similar WASP establishment in Great Britain surrounding the royal family, which is closely associated with its American counterpart. Pilgrims UK, City of London, and Pilgrims New York City. The term WASP, when applied to Americans' elite, is somewhat inadequate. Usually it's Anglo-Saxon. It's Anglo-Saxon descent and Protestant values are emphasized, followed by a general description of the historic influence of this group. Whenever the question comes up of the establishment, of this establishment still, I'm sorry, whenever the question comes up if this establishment still has great influence today, few, if any, scholars come up with clear and definite answers, much further than throwing around terms like Ivy League and the Old Boys Network. They usually won't go. So, yes, Henry Kissinger, part of it, Lyndon Johnson, from the top of my head, Greenberg, the old Federal Reserve chairman, Greenberg, the Dulles brothers of World War II, the OSS members, which became the CIA, the Bushes, George and Junior, and Jeb, and the whole family. They are very familiar with this group because they have done all things possible to further the objectives of this group in New York City. Bill and Hillary, they are Illuminati. It was stated that Bill is has less power spiritually in the occult than Hillary. Hillary is a very, very high-ranking Illuminati member in witchcraft. Don't use Google. Go to other search engines, and you can read this for yourselves. This is in the online. You can find it. You don't have to go to the dark web to find this stuff. These facts. The Rockefellers, all Rockefellers, from the time of John D., were members of this group. This group, which I call the guerrilla, that is desperately trying to destroy Donald Trump in this presidency that he's in. This is his third time in office. They were able to keep him off the bus in the second election, but he got back on the bus in this next term. All of the presidents, from Carter, fully aware of this Anglo-Saxon Protestant establishment. Ronald Reagan, absolutely, no doubt. The people in this establishment, they end up yearly, most of them, at Bohemian Grove in Northern California. Ronald Reagan was part of it. Reagan was not squeaky clean like people are led to believe. He was patriotic. They had to be patriotic during that time, and he did with his speeches, he made America more patriotic, because the United States has been the country that has protected the British society. We have been the protectors of the oceans, the protectors of the air, protectors of the lands. And we have been the ones in this country who have protected the black budget income, a deep, deep black budget. They fund it with drugs during the Vietnam War, during Afghanistan drugs, during the Contras, South America drugs. It's one of their go-to enterprises. The other enterprise is people, is children, is men and women, body parts, organs. That is another part of their marketplace. People don't realize they're in trouble until they end up in a room with a snake. Years ago, west of where I live, in the foothills of Colorado, there's a tunnel, and it's an aqueduct. It's a canal to bring water from one of the northern lakes, Carter Lake, south into a city called Lyons, into an irrigation canal that runs all the way toward Boulder, Colorado. And we were there in the fall, some buddies and I, they had finished irrigating for the season. We'd gone up. We were young. We were probably 16. And we decided to go through that tunnel. You could walk through that mountain from the east side all the way to the west, so that has your drainage. It drops down at a steep angle into the canal below. So we're going through the tunnel, and we're just talking and doing what boys do. We're just having a good time. And there were leaves and things in there. And all of a sudden, someone saw something move. And we looked. And here goes this thing slithering across a little bit of sand on the bottom of that canal. We don't think it was a rattlesnake. It didn't make a noise. It just took off ahead of us. That's all it took. We turned around, walked out, never went back. People don't realize they're in trouble till after they see the snake. It's too late. The world today, they don't realize the gravity of the evil in the world today. Why are things internationally so difficult in all countries, economically, politically, with immigration, with perversion, sexual perversion? Why? Because this is one of the signs of the end times. The exponential growth of evil. Evil can be translated S-I-N, sin. Mankind becomes more sinful than ever before in the history of mankind, even more evil than at the time of Noah's flood, which God say eliminated everyone except 8 souls. We are at a point where there is so much evil. Sin is like crabgrass taking over a lawn. And no matter what you do, you cannot contain it. You cannot arrest it. We cannot arrest sin. We cannot put boundaries and borders on it, because the evil is inside of people. There are those that still live by the laws of conscience, by the laws of the Holy Spirit if you're born again. But the mass of societies, they want what they want. They want to do what they want, even in this country, with wealth. Wealth can become a nitroglycerin. It can become so volatile that it destroys marriages. It destroys the children, because unless you know how to handle this explosive thing called money, you will destroy yourself. You'll start to burn fingers, blow off fingers, go blind. And this is exactly what Christ said would happen in the time in this world, especially in a nation called Babylon the Great, the harlot of the nations of the world. Carol Quigley, he basically gives a description of the people, the establishment that rules this big empire. They attempt to and have, to a great degree, own China, have had great influence in India. This is before these two sister chapters came into existence. Once they came into existence, there was a shift. What at one time France and Spain and Britain, the authority that they had, the power that they had, was, you might say, restricted by another empire called the United States of America. Britain still calls on us to rule the seas, to rule the air, to rule space, to rule the oceans, to see what's happening beneath the ocean, to watch every detail on every continent above ground, on the land, in every mountain, in every city. Britain still, and France, and Spain, and the European countries still expect us to just lavish them with millions of tons of physical cash. It goes, you know, after 20,000 digital transactions, you might still not gain even a billionth of an ounce, because there's no weight to those things. But who did they depend on? Revelation chapter 17, a harlot, a prostitute. And the prostitute, what does it do? It feeds the desires of everyone that comes begging. We are the prostitute of the world. They come and use us, and they use us to fund their militaries, to protect them, to protect their interests abroad, oil or gas or drugs or whatever it may be, shipping. Quigley basically, you know, made it very clear. It is a group of people, an establishment. The Anglo-American Establishment. He wrote a book. I'll give you the number of the book if you want to buy it. The ISBN 0-91-67-28-50-1. Page 52 on Focus Books. The Anglo-American Establishment. Quigley wasn't supposed to speak of it. He wasn't supposed to mention it, but he did. Why? Because nothing that is hidden will remain secret. Nothing. Nothing will be hidden, and Carol Quigley made it known to the world that this is the group. This is the king of the jungle being the world, the corrupt world. And that world, really, of the society began with Spiritism 124 years, 25 years ago. It began with the cult people, with W.T. Steed, doing seances. there were hundreds of people doing this, and it made seances fashionable. Eventually, Eleanor Roosevelt, she holds seances in the White House. Nancy Reagan is working with, I forget the name of the spiritist that she worked with after the assassination attempt on Ronald Reagan, equivalent to Jeannie Dixon. I can't remember who Nancy used, but everything was done with witchcraft, stargazing, or, you know, numbers, depending on the day, the full moon, the sunrise. But all of this, and this is exactly according to what Christ stated, that when he revealed the vision to John, the apostle, the book of Revelation, Christ revealed that there would be a great time of spiritual activity, holy spiritual activity and ungodly spiritual activity. There would be a time of the greatest occult individuals ever in the history of mankind. If you go to Revelation chapter 13, these are the two, the tier, the top, the pyramid, the tip of the pyramid of occult individuals ever mentioned in the Bible. Nimrod was very powerful. The pharaohs of Egypt, the kings of ancient Babylon, Greece, what they worshipped in Rome, the royals of Europe, and the royal family, the great occult powers that they have. And still, Christ makes it very clear to John when John writes chapter 13 of Revelation. These two individuals are the most demonic, satanic, occult figures ever recorded in the Bible, other than the devil himself. It says that these two in the book of Revelation 20, I believe it is, that these two individuals, they rule basically for 7 years. Their power, their term of power, 7 years, maybe a little bit more. But they will never see the grave. They will never have worms destroy their physical bodies, because Christ, at his return, he takes them and he throws them, hurls them into the lake of fire. The Christian churches, all of them, not only the evangelical churches of America, but most of the other true Christian assemblies, do not like to talk about demons, the devil, the occult, Satanism. They don't like to talk about it. It is disturbing. But Christ makes it clear in the book of Revelation, there are these fallen angels, and presently, I'll do another program on this. You know, our fascination with UFOs. Well, the UFOs are spirits. They are angels. They are fallen angels. They aren't from another galaxy. They're not ancient entities that are coming to rescue man from himself. No. Revelation talks about war in heaven. Michael and his angels, the archangel Michael and his angels fighting, the devil and his angels fighting. It is a warfare between the angels who rebelled at the rebellion against God and his holy angels, and they are at war with each other because of the attempts of the angels of Satan and his whole entourage of demonic powers, millions and billions of demonic things happening in the world, which are at war with mankind. The objective is to destroy and kill every man, woman, and child, to destroy the earth, the trees, the animals of the earth, the oceans, because if they can destroy the oceans and the air and the creatures, then mankind will cease to exist. You eliminate all the cattle. You bring great hunger on the earth, starvation, same with the crops. This is their objective. This is an age-old plan of this invisible but real entity called Satan and all of his forces that are anchored to the ground and that are allowed to fly in the air. Then you have the employees of the devil who are employed to destroy mankind, to rule over the earth, to rule over the nations. And the best way I can explain it is, at one time, God told Abraham that his children would be the lineage, through their lineage, through their genetics, that the Messiah would come. They were told it would be through them that Christ, the Messiah, would come. They had a duty. The Christian people, we are basically, according to Revelation chapter 1, we are in seven different family lineages, whether Catholicism, Anglican, whether it be Lutheran or Greek or Evangelical, whatever it may be, we are a family, and in the family, there would be those that have infiltrated the family that are not family members. These would be the people that would be employed by the devil to sneak in, to destroy the family from within. With Israel, you would have individuals who would be employees of the devil, faking to be Jewish. And some may be Jewish, but they hate the Jewish lineage. But they would still be employed by the devil to destroy God's plan with the Jewish people. Eventually, the coming millennial kingdom, the thousand-year wedding feast of Messiah, the Jewish people will be, Israel will be established as a kingdom once again, and that kingdom will rule over the world. People can't, they don't want to believe that. They won't want to accept it, but it's just going to happen. It's the truth. Then with the non-Jew, non-Christian, just the general population, the nations of the world, you would have those in the world that would be good people, live by their conscience, that would be a blessing to their societies, to their families, and they would be a target of those that are employed by the devil in the nations with the objective to destroy them also. So whether you're Jew or true born-again Christian or just a member of mankind, you're a target of the employees of the devil. I use the reference back in Matthew chapter 24 that there was a day when after fasting for 40 days, 40 nights out in the wilderness, guess who came to visit Christ? Yeah, the devil. And the last thing the devil did said it, he said, is fall down and worship me. I'll give you the kingdoms of the world. Well, who owned the kingdoms of the world at that time? It was the devil. Rome was his kingdom. Those in the religious world that added extra laws to the 10 laws of Moses brought hardship to the Jewish people. Well, many of them were servants of the devil too, even though they were Jewish. And then you had the crowds who would eventually spit on Christ, pull his beard, mock him. Well, you would have in the society in Rome those that were members of the kingdom of darkness that would mock Christ. But Satan says, fall down and worship me, I'll give you the kingdoms of the world. This was a job opportunity. Satan was an employer hoping to employ Messiah, the Son of God, hoping to put him to work to establish his kingdom. So it was, you might say, it was an interview. And it's very clear that once the dialogue was completed, it says that Satan left for a little while. He left for a short space for a while. But from that time to the present, this creature, this entity, has been through all the societies of the world looking for people to employ, not just deceive only, but to employ them to work for him, to rule over his kingdoms. And it's very simple to say presently today. You look at people in the nations in Europe, the royal families. You look at people in this country. You know you're bumping elbows with people that are very, very dangerous to be around, are very corrupt. Well, somebody is employing most of these people. As Christians, who have you been employed by? The true born-again people have been employed by Christ. He went out early in the day to put people to work. But the people that were supposed to be in the field laboring, what have they done? They have basically left the location where they're supposed to, harvest or plant. So many Christian people have been deceived. They are not employed by Christ. If they were employed by Christ, they would be active in their homes, in their areas where they live. They would be active preaching the gospel of the kingdom of heaven. There is a kingdom that exists. It's invisible to a great degree, but eventually it will be open and made known to the nations in the 1,000-year wedding feast of Jesus Christ. Many Christians are employed by the devil, deceived by the devil, building the kingdom of the devil, and forgetting all about building Christ's eternal kingdom. For those that are Christians that are actively engaged in building this world, using this world for your own, you need to live, you need to have a roof over your head, but there comes a point where you need to draw a line, and some of your time, some of what you have, needs to be used to further the kingdom of heaven. I'll give you King David and his son Solomon. King David, in his lifetime, all that he accumulated, all that he had amassed, through all of his victories, he was busy taking care of his duties. With each battle, there were certain things in that battle that were spoils of the battle that became King David's. David took those spoils. He still has in his tomb the helmet of Goliath in David's tomb. I believe the sword, in fact, I know the sword is there, the helmet, and probably the stone and the little whatever it was he used to throw a stone and to kill Goliath. David amassed great wealth during his lifetime, and he stored it. Two-thirds of the wealth that he amassed went to building the temple. Solomon, of all that he had, one-third went to building the temple. Two-thirds was spent on his own desires. So that's the difference between David and Solomon. David didn't need, he lived well, but still he poured two-thirds into Solomon's temple eventually. Solomon, again, he spent all but one-third. One-third was used for the temple. Christians, you have a temple, your body, your spirit, your soul. Two-thirds of what you have should be used to build your temple, to further God's kingdom through spreading the good news that there is eternal life, that people can have eternal life, that people don't have to die and then go to the underworld. At the same time, you can tell people we are in the time now where there is a war between kingdoms. There is a clash. There is a battle. It is evident in the societies of the world. It's not just physical, not a physical battle. It is a battle that you can see in the spiritual realm. You can see the hatred of Israel by the nations in the area, the region, and the nations outside of the region, Iran. It's not just physical. There is something darker. It is demonic. It's because it's the kingdom of darkness. In Ukraine, with Russia and Ukraine, even Putin, they have acknowledged that they are fighting a battle against demon forces. Russia has admitted they are fighting against the old Soviet, the old Nazi religion, which was an occult religion, the Thule Society, other ancient demonic forces going back hundreds, thousands of years. They admit it. Like Russia's philosopher, Dugin, Alexander Dugin. I had read this in the previous programs. Dugin says that what's happening in this country, in the United States, between the left, the people on the left, he said, this is demonic. These people have become demon-possessed. That's Alexander Dugin. They are not normal. They have problems. They are mad. They don't have any indicator that they have any stability mentally. They're unstable. Within these LGBT, etc., there's high suicide rate. There is violence. There is depression. Many of these people are on drugs. They can't hold a job. They are psychologically incapable of even living. They can't be reasoned with. It, like Dugin said, these people have opened doors. I'm saying they've opened doors. Dugin says they are demonized. They are possessed by demons. People that are rational, when they're around people that they can tell, even the leftists, even those that are hard left, they can tell when they're around people they need to be careful around. They have to be careful around certain people. because they're not mentally there. There's something wrong mentally. There's a strain of madness that even, you know, these people that just hate this country, that hate this president, that hate law and order, they know there are certain people that are in their vicinity. When they're around these individuals, they basically back away because these people are, you know, they've got a light trigger. They've got just a thin wall between sanity and demonic activity. You can see it. Out of Cecil Rhodes and that group came the Tavistock programs. These were all mind control programs. Eventually would lead into MK Ultra, the experiments with the brains of people. America has been an experiment. This country, through the media, you can't do anything without the media. If you don't have the media, you cannot deceive people. They need media is the main tool, method of deception. What did Christ say? Do not be deceived. And what are they using? What have these two sister chapters, what was their objective? To control media. And they have controlled media. Trump, here over the last week, 3 days ago, Friday night, he makes an address to the news agencies at a dinner. This is his enemy. He's making it clear to the American people everything every time he is before the cameras and he points to the CNN and these type of people. These are the enemies. This is one of the major guerrillas running rampant with all the family members in this country, all these mainstream media outlets. You know, PBS lost all of its funding. So Trump cut the funding for PBS, public broadcasting station. So these people are so evil. What do? They go to the universities now, and the universities that are being funded by the government are now taking that income and funding PBS. So these people, they are cunning. It truly is the gorilla that one way or another, gorilla will get in its hand ways to eat. It'll get a hand, a branch with healthy leaves on it. It will stay alive. So Trump points his finger. He says, this, he's pointing to the great gorilla in the room. This is the way that you deceive a society. What did Christ say again? See to it that you be not deceived. Then the enemy of mankind, the enemy of your soul, the devil, what is the next aspect to deception? It's called AI, artificial intelligence. The purpose of artificial intelligence is to deceive mankind again. Millions of people now are using AI, Grok, using AI for getting answers for everything. And what it's going to do is with these children, if they haven't been, you know, uneducated enough, they're going to become, they're dumb as a rock. How can you get any dumber than that? Many of them can't spell. Many of the fourth graders can't read first grade words. They graduate from high school. They cannot read at a second grade level, but they have been, you know, oh, Johnny's doing well. He's doing good. He's the top of the class, and they can't read. And they use AI. You give them a cell phone, they can do that. You give them emojis, they can communicate through emojis, little symbols like they used to do back in the times of the Aztecs, little structure with a little head with a head feathers on. They can do that, but they can't read Cosmopolitan. They don't know what the word means. They can't read it. They don't know how to even break it apart to speak it. This culture is too late. AI, one of the reasons that they've been pushing AI is because they realize the younger generations are not going to be able to keep this society on its feet. It's going to have to be AI, and not only AI, but it's going to be robots. It's going to be, you know, everything's going to be automated. That's the only thing they think that can save this country. Carol Quigley, when he wrote his book, he let the cat out of the bag. He let the truth out. There is a group so powerful, even the presidents have spoken of this group. You're careful when you say anything about it. Well, again, I go back to what the Lord said. The people of the world, they can begin to speak now. They can be, with Epstein, there are going to be more people that will expose what happened with Epstein. It's coming out. But the thing is, and people don't think, but you want to eat the banana split. You want it brought and put at the table, 3 scoops of ice cream, a full banana, 8 ounces of chocolate. You want 5 ounces of walnuts. You want 3 strawberries, 3 cherries on top. You want the whole thing all at once. People are mad. They don't realize you cannot ingest the Epstein files. You can't. You'll get them out. You'll get tired of them. You'll start eating on that Sunday. And it's so rich, you'll get maybe a quarter of the way through it. It's so rich, you'll stop eating, and you'll just let it melt off in the corner till somebody comes, takes it away. People don't have any common sense. You cannot have all the Epstein files downloaded at your disposal. You won't read them. You can't. It takes the whole country, people dissecting it. So no, God doesn't waste important matters. He won't give this world everything that Epstein did because you, number one, won't believe it. Number two, you won't believe it could actually happen in America. Number three, it's going to be too much. You can't eat that Sunday. You can't. You have vanilla at the bottom. In the middle, you have strawberry. You have a scoop of chocolate at the top. You've got 8 ounces of chocolate dripping down. You have nuts all over it. You have bananas in it. There's no way. It's too rich. You can't absorb it. This is why the Epstein files will come out incrementally. But people have everybody has a meltdown, not understanding that it takes time. These programs, I barely touch what is important. Well, I've touched what I feel was important for the second hour of today's program. Rick Rodriguez, Post Office Box 872, Longmont, Colorado, 80502. Support me. I ask you for support if you can. ThisPresentTruth.com. 2 sections, the Olive Tree and Lampstand site. The other section is This Present Truth site. So, for today, again, only God can help you absorb everything that is being presented to you. Only God can help you. Ask Him to help you see what you need to see. God bless you. I'll be back.